So the last call we had, this is Elaine with Impact ADHD, and today is the 18th of December, the PSS call on Thursday at 1 o'clock Eastern Time. What time is it where you are, Patty? 10 o'clock Pacific Time?
Yes.
Okay. And today we are going to move forward and talk about perspectives, but I want to check in with everybody. The last call we had about escaping the stress cycle was it's a pretty major topic in this community, and it's one that we find tends to come up again and again and again. So I just want to check in with you and find out sort of since the last call and since that conversation, what have you noticed? What's been going on? What have you been trying? What's worked? What hasn't? Anything you want to share, sort of checking in on that. And small group today, so you're on the hook to remember to participate.
Yeah.
So what have you noticed? Let me ask it first. Was everybody on or listened to the call from a couple of weeks ago?
I don't think I've been on in a while.
Say it again.
This is Meredith, but I haven't been able to attend calls in a while, so.
Okay, so you weren't there. Anybody else?
And Ellen, I'm not on this typically on this call, and I don't remember that being the topic of our last conversation. So on
was
the
it about managing call, triggers?
That was about okay. Yes, we did talk about managing.
That's what we're.
Triggers.
Did we just talk about it differently?
Okay,
that's really the same thing.
What
do you do when you recognize you're getting triggered? How do you begin to get out of that? Right. Okay.
So this is Ellen, and I have just because I'm not usually on this call, I have a 16-year-old son, and I've really just I used to just if I noticed he was getting riled up or I get riled up, we'd kind of confront it, and now I sort of say I'll be back in 10 minutes because I know I need to calm down. And that does seem to work better.
How is it helping?
I think I don't. It helps me because I just have a different perspective. Is it doesn't need to escalate. That he's better talking about things when I'm calm. If I'm angry or upset, he feeds into that.
Right.
Sometimes I think he actually encourages it a little bit because he likes to see a reaction.
When he gets the reaction, what happens?
So the reaction then tends to be because if it's around homework, he just shuts down and he still doesn't do it. But it creates a bad feeling between us as a relationship.
And now he feels justified in not doing it.
Yes. Correct.
Right. Now he's got a reason for not doing it.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It becomes they use that triggering you as a distraction from the issue at hand.
Yes.
So if you don't get triggered, they don't have as much excuse for getting distracted. Right?
Yes. So I've learned to change my expectations, I guess, and that to say to him, look, this is your life. If you don't do it, it is your decision, but you'll get it, you know, that is your choice, where I used to just be like, I can't believe you're acting this way. Why aren't you doing this? Why isn't this important? And I've changed the conversation to, you know, he's 16. This is your choice. This is why I think it's important, you know, in the long run. But I can't make you do it. So you have to make a decision.
Great.
And by walking away and coming back, I'm able to say that versus my normalcy, like, why aren't you, like, why haven't you finished your homework? Or why are you doing this instead of your homework?
Mm-hmm. That's awesome. So it lets you stay reasonable. It lets you communicate your expectations clearly and your values clearly without a lot of baggage around it, a lot of drama around it.
Yeah.
So, and a place for you to look to sort of, as I point you to in the future, is, you know, once you've sort of gotten a handle on setting that expectation and getting calm about it, the next step is, okay, so what do we need to think about? How do we help him come to a point where he wants to or feels able to do the work?
Yes.
Right. And so that's where the direction
that's what we're working on.
Right. Yes. It's where we're going. But you can't get there if you don't go through the place you're in first.
Right.
Right. Thanks. Anybody else have any sort of fallout or feedback or awareness from the conversations about releasing yourself from triggers or escaping that stress cycle?
Well, I'm certainly trying to escape it, but maybe you can advise me on how. Our daughter, 17, we went to her therapist, and as a family, the therapist had suggested to her to come up with a plan for her last semester at home and scheduling different things in order to stay organized. And she received, even though that has been our advice, she also received from the therapist, but said, okay, I will do the homework. And her homework is due tomorrow, and I know she still has not done it, and it's been like pulling teeth. So it is definitely stressful for me. I don't want to be a nag, and I'm trying to say it in a positive way. You know, can I help you with your homework? Is this a good time to do it? And then it's on me, you know, just she has a way of turning things so as not to take responsibility. So I just don't really know how to deal with it, and I feel like I'm being kind and positive.
Okay. So it sounds like rather than like escaping from the stress cycle, what you're really pointing to is where you want to take aim this week, which is how do you deal with this situation, right?
Yeah.
And we'll move into that. What I heard from what Ellen was saying was what she got from that last call was to not let it be her issue, right? That it's his issue, he's 16, and to be calm and let him have the consequences. And so I just as we move forward, we'll come back to it in a minute, but that sounds like where you may want to take aim this week is how do you get her to do her homework, but how do you be with it when she doesn't?
Uh-huh.
Yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Anybody else, Meredith or Ellen? So first, Patty, let me check in. Is that a good place for you to take aim this week?
Yeah, like I said, I'm just trying to come up with a way of how to deal with this situation. And doesn't want to do what I think for telling her to do.
I can't hear you, Patty. You got really far away from the phone.
I'm sorry, but it's just difficult to deal with the situation because she's not doing what the expert is asking her to do. It's not me asking her to do it.
Right. So I want you to get clear on what you're taking aim on. Are you taking aim on getting her to do it? Are you taking aim on how do you handle it when she doesn't do what she's expected or asked to do?
How I handle it.
Okay. Okay. Ellen and Meredith, what do you want to take aim on today?
So I do want to take aim on how I handle it because I've learned that I can't make him do it. I feel like I'm handling it pretty well, but I question whether this, we had the fight or flight discussion in our group last time, if I'm just not fleeing. I don't want it to be just a fleeing, like, okay, so he's not doing it and he gets a zero. That's his issue. So I just need to balance that I'm not just taking the, okay, well, it's your life and you live with, he still is just 16 and I still want to parent him and make him try to help him get to the point where he understands why it's important to hand it in, because he gets zeros. He gets a total zero if he doesn't do it. He had two this week. He had been really good for two whole weeks. We would start a reward system of a dollar every time he didn't get a report, and a dollar back he did. For two straight weeks, no reports, and then this week he's had one Monday and Tuesday.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the first thing that comes up, and we'll come back to it, is just where that points me to as soon as I hear you say that is get curious about what's going on for him, because something changed, right?
Right.
But where I hear you, and so we'll come back to that, but where I hear you taking aim is, continuing to navigate that balance between supporting and enabling, making sure that you're not enabling, but making sure you're supporting sufficiently.
Yes.
Is that it?
That's correct.
Okay, perfect. Cool. Meredith, what about you?
I guess some of the same. Like, when you and I were talking, things are pretty decent right now. Like, I don't have a lot in the forefront of my mind that's bothering me. But just, I guess, continuing to navigate between sort of just letting him, feeling like I'm just, I guess, fleeing is the word that was just used. I don't feel like I'm fleeing, but sometimes I feel like I'm just like, all right, whatever, you know, do what you want to do.
Abdicating almost, yeah.
Versus, but that's the right thing to do a lot of the time with him, because it escalates otherwise, right? So,
right.
I don't know.
So I think what I'm hearing is same issue is that fine line between supporting and enabling. Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. And I know a couple of people have also joined us on the call, Melissa and Paulette. We're taking aim. What do you want to take aim on today? Hi, and welcome, and what do you want to take aim on today?
Yeah, I couldn't make it on the call tonight. This is Paulette. I came a little late, so
just in time.
Probably want to take... Huh? Okay.
You're just on time.
How do I handle it when she's not... when she doesn't want to do what she's supposed to do, and just this week she's been going to bed later and later, and not, she said she's kind of stuck on getting distracted with her homework, and when you were saying, well, I wonder what's changed, and I think she did say she was more depressed, so, and I have to say I'm more stressed. I mean, good God, we're all getting ready for Christmas, and it's crazy, so... I want to blame, that, and I haven't been home. I haven't been shopping. I haven't been home to, see how you're doing, so I haven't been the best supporter, I guess, the last week.
You've captured what I think a lot of people are struggling with right now beautifully. Hmm. So where's one place that could relieve the tension for you, for your family?
Not going to school or I guess
okay, this is close. Maybe it's riding it out until the break. It's like just making sure everybody stays calm and cool and collected till the break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's as reasonable as anything sometimes,
Right. I mean, there's just kind of no way of getting out of, other stuff that you have to do and that I have to get ready for. And I'm covering for her, wrapping presents for, her friends, in Japan, good God.
So I think what I'm hearing sort of underlying for you right now, you're focusing on how do you sort of keep calm and do some self-care during the stress of the holidays.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah. This may not be about her at all. This may be just about you, how you keep taking care
maybe.
Of your gifts.
Yeah.
Is that a good place?
I think so. Yep.
Okay. So focus there. Somebody else has joined us from the 317 area code. Who's that? Who's here from 317 area code? I just need to know who's here, because if not, I got to drop you off the call, because I don't want, out of respect for everyone else on the call, I just need to know who's on the call with us.
Dawn.
Dawn, thank you. Do you need to be on mute and just listen today, or you want to participate?
Oh, I'd like to participate.
Say it again.
I'd like to participate.
Great. Okay. I couldn't tell. So, Dawn and Melissa, do you want to take aim?
Sure, this is Melissa. I think I'm resonating with a few things that other people have been saying, but I don't have a lot of clarity, so if you can help me with that. I feel like, you know, I've been hearing to reduce expectations, not necessarily, yeah, kind of expectations, like just not doing as much, you know, and I feel like we literally are almost doing nothing, but it's still a struggle. And I've tried really hard to, you know, manage my emotions, but on Monday I just completely blew up because I feel like, you know, we do so little, and we have, you know, I invited my sister over for, you know, a drink and it was a very short, small, manageable period of time, and I thought, okay, but I had to cancel it last minute because things, he wasn't as far ahead in his homework and things like that. But I mean, basically, I feel like I really do very little, and it's still too much, you know? And that's where I'm really frustrated, because, you know, I'd like to have people over. I'd like to, you know, maybe once a week or maybe once every other week. But it just seems like, you know, or, you know, he doesn't, you know, we've given up on a lot of extracurricular activities. Because either he doesn't like it, he doesn't want people telling him what to do, is the big thing that keeps coming up now. But it's just like, yeah.
There's issues with him, but again, sort of like what Paulette was saying, is part of this is about you want to have a life, and it's frustrating you feel like you can't have a life.
Yeah.
So it's not about helping him get something done. It's about you want some space for yourself to do what's important to you.
True, but at the same time, I want him to have a richer life than what he's having too. You know, like, we stopped doing music, we stopped doing film, we stopped doing any sort of drama. I mean, you know, this is like a period of years. I'm not talking about, like, you are doing all this stuff, you know. But it's like we haven't continued things because it's either been a real struggle or a fight. And it's just, I feel like there's not a lot of enrichment. Either with me personally, I can see I should
I'm not
get
saying
somebody
that's
to help.
Not also true, but I am asking you to choose one place to focus.
I guess for him. I mean, for me, I can find a babysitter and do my own thing. I know that there's a solution for that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
So it's about how do you help him make sure that he's got an enriched life without adding too much stress.
Yeah.
Okay. And Dawn, anything you want to take aim on?
And the topic is perspectives?
The topic's perspectives, yep. Doesn't have to be around that topic, but never mind.
Oh, okay. Well, I want to continue helping Matt and finding the line between giving him responsibility that he can handle and helping him with the things that he's not able to do on his own. And I want to remain compassionate. instead of being frustrated, like, why didn't you get this done? Like, I understand this
is hard for
you. Is
there something specific you think he's ready to take on, or that y'all have agreed he's ready to take on?
Well, we talked last night about, we went through the 12 steps of homework, which is an awesome thing from you guys.
Yeah.
And he stuck on 6 and 7, I believe that's it. We're getting started and completing tasks.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about he really needs to take responsibility, and I'll help him come up with strategies, but he has to use strategies to overcome those in order to get through school. And it seems like we've been working on.
So it sounds like what you've taken aim on with him is using a strategy.
Yes, thank you.
Okay, no, which is huge.
There we go.
Just getting clear that it's that he agrees to do that is huge. Right. So
I hope he meant
it. Not what the strategy is, but it's holding him accountable to using a strategy.
Exactly. Yeah.
Beautiful.
Exactly.
Love that.
I love the clarity.
So,
thank you.
So I think what I'm hearing then, what you want to take on one is how do you hold them accountable to that?
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, definitely.
Okay. All right. And I just want to say that I love hearing you say that because it's like one of the hardest pieces to it's one of the hardest pieces to explain to teachers, is that I am more interested in my kids learning to use the strategy available to them than to get the work done. Now, it's different for high school kids, you know, but as the kids are a little younger, moving up in that direction, getting them to agree to use a strategy is huge, and it's probably the most important thing that you can teach them to do, because then they'll begin to use them to get their stuff done in other ways. But if we're only holding them accountable to the grade, we're missing that it's the process that's important for these kids. For most of them, that's where their struggle is. It's not with the content, it's with the process. And so if we could shift our focus to holding them accountable to their process instead of to their end result, they will do better in the long run. So I'm going to get
off
my soapbox.
Thank you for that clarity. I love the clarity again. That was just for clarity for me.
It's so, so important, right? And it's where our kids push back the most because they don't want to be accountable to the process because that's the hard part, right? That's really hard for them. So today we're going to talk about perspectives, and all of this stuff lends itself to a conversation about perspectives. Every issue you identified. And, you know, when we talked about escaping the stress cycle a couple of weeks ago, or for some of you we talked about in terms of managing triggers, it's the same thing. There's a four-step process, right? Step one, you have to recognize that you're triggered in the first place. And in my groups, we talked about recognizing your physiological symptoms, like what happens in your body when you're starting to get triggered, so that you can really notice when you're getting triggered. Step two was about reclaiming your brain from the trigger, right? Taking that breath, walking away, taking a break, whatever it is, so that you're not trying to have an important conversation from a triggered state. And I had an example of this last night. My son was really, really triggered. And he wanted to get into this whole conversation, and he was so triggered that all I was able to do was just listen and just let him be upset and cry and tell me everything he thinks wrong and all the things we have done wrong as parents and how unfair we were and all of that. And what I sort of agreed to was, we'll listen to you tonight, and then we're going to come back and schedule another time to have a conversation about this, and which he didn't love. But I was really clear that I wasn't going to have the conversation while he was so upset. But I was willing to listen to him while he was so upset. And so I think that really helped a lot. Anyway, so step two is to reclaim your brain and not to try to take any action until you've done that. Step three is to make up a new story that works for you. And that's really what perspectives is about. We're going to talk about that. And then step four is to take action based on the new story. So perspectives is about how we see a situation. And when I first got into coaching, the thing that I was most struck by from everything I learned in coaching I was just dumbfounded by the realization that when we change our perspective on something, we actually change our outcomes. And how we see a situation actually influences what happens and what the results are. And that was sort of a radical concept to me, and I think it's a hard head around because we don't realize how much we're influencing a dynamic just by how we think about it or how we approach it. But we really, really, we change the reality, we change the outcome based on our perspective of something. And we see that best in the stress cycle. When we're triggered, we know that when we're triggered, we can't be rational. When we're triggered, we that's when we break things. That's when we yell. That's when we, react. But it's true in every aspect of our life, that how we look at something, Henry Ford said, whether you believe you can or you can't, you're absolutely right. And that's really what choosing perspectives is about, is recognizing the perspective that we're in and then beginning to shift and change to a perspective that would serve us better in that situation. So I want to have a little conversation about perspectives and then do a little exercise with all of you. So what's coming up for anybody? What are your thoughts in terms of this idea that how we are, our perspective is going to influence what happens, and that sometimes it's our perspective that's actually getting in the way? So what comes up?
My daughter, and I
bless you.
Think that this is typical of ADD, says, well, I'm just lazy. And I want to say to her, no, honey, you're not lazy. Your brain works in a different way. Sometimes you just have a hard time getting started. And let's think of motivators, things to help you get started. So it's definitely this, when you talk about perspective, and if you change it, you could have a different outcome. I totally understand that, and it makes a lot of sense. But then I don't know how to help her get out of this, don't you get that I'm lazy and I don't want to do that?
So where I hear you focusing is on wanting to convince her that she's not.
Right? Yeah.
And that's her perspective. And as long as she's in it, that's where she is. So there is something about helping her see a different perspective, right?
Yeah.
And what's the other place I would love to point you to look is what's your perspective on it. So if she's got the perspective, don't you see that I'm lazy? What's your perspective?
Mm-hmm. I think she has a hard time getting started, but once she gets going, if it's something that she likes, she will do it.
Okay. So you see it as it's hard for her to get started. What other
yeah.
perspectives do you have on that situation?
I don't understand the question.
Okay. So that's what you see for her. What I'm
mm-hmm.
also hearing is you have a perspective that if she would just listen and understand, she'd be able to fix it.
Yeah, I think if she were willing to understand.
So the perspective you're bringing is if she were willing to understand.
Huh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah. She just
so,
reading about ADD or understanding of that, she has no interest.
Right. Is that a reasonable expectation for a 17-year-old kid?
I've dealt with a lot of people in that age group, and I see a variety, kids that are proactive and outgoing and kids that are not. So I didn't,
There are a bunch of other people on the call with kids in the teenage range. How many of your kids want to learn about and read about ADHD?
Not mine.
Either.
None.
Mine said it was
fascinating, but I have yet to see him read a book about it.
Right. So it's actually reasonable to expect that she's not going to be interested.
Okay.
So that doesn't mean that you can't address it as an educator, but if you're taking the perspective, if she would just learn about this, then that's a perspective that may be getting in your way because you're not setting a reasonable expectation. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay. So if you were to replace that with a different expectation that might work for you, and I'm going to open this up so because this is an issue every one of us faces, right? Most of us have teenage kids on this call.
Yes.
So replace it with another perspective that's also true or that we could also believe is true that might be more helpful. And, Patty, can I open it and let other people make some suggestions?
Sure.
Okay. What else could also be true, guys?
She's heard she's lazy over and over from teachers.
Okay, so she's lazy reinforced time and time again.
I'm sorry. Do you need me to answer to that?
No, not yet. Don't answer it yet. Let's just brainstorm a little bit. So the perspective shift might be, wow, this kid really believes she's lazy.
Yeah. I could say my son is exactly in the same place, and he'll say the same thing, and I'll say, you're not lazy. I'm like, well, yeah, I am. I'm like, how do I change his perspective that he's, you know, he doesn't have to feel that way about himself?
Right.
But he's, you know.
So you don't believe that it is. So you're both looking for a same new perspective. So let's keep going. What else is also true? So what I'm hearing is some compassion for, wow, he may have had teachers that have reinforced this. Wow, he really believes that about himself. That's so sad. Right? I hear a lot of compassion. What else?
Well, this is Alyssa. From my perspective, having ADHD when I was a kid, I would look at everybody else and see how much they can do. And so the only logical conclusion for me not getting straight A's and doing all this hard work is that I must be lazy or something. You know, it's just comparing yourself to the other kids around you. I think reinforces that.
Yeah. So, well, when you compare yourself to other kids who don't have ADD, I can see how you might see yourself as lazy.
Right.
Right.
And I think it's really hard to tell the difference. I think it's hard for anyone, I don't know, for me, I should just speak for me, this is Dawn, to tell the difference between, oh, he's having trouble, and my son has so much trouble with this, just getting started, because he really needs something to motivate him, versus he's lazy. I mean, I know there's completely different reasons for it because their brains are wired differently when they're lazy, but it looks the same. So I wonder if, since it looks the same, if kids and maybe adults just see it as the same.
Mm-hmm. So the perspective shift might be, wow, it's really hard to see the difference. I can see why he thinks it that way, or maybe he doesn't know the difference. Right? Anything else coming up?
When I think sometimes I don't know so I look at this, my perspective. You're saying, you know, my perspective. Sometimes I don't know if he's just being lazy or he's having a hard time getting started.
Yeah.
You know? I just.
And clearly he doesn't know either.
No, he doesn't.
Right.
I mean, we all have times where we're lazy and we just don't want to do something. It's not just an ADHD trait. I think it gets exasperated in our ADHD kids.
Yeah, it gets exaggerated, definitely. Yeah. And makes us exasperated.
Exactly.
So here's another piece that's coming up is I wonder about where else in their lives they're not lazy, right? Like, if the perspective is, I know he's not lazy, so how do I help him see that, right, for example? Or if that's the goal, then instead of if he would just learn about it, I wonder how else I can help him see that he's not lazy.
So this is Ellen, and I think this my perspective that I need trouble on, or I have issues, I guess, a little bit, is the importance of school and grades. And I guess I have a certain perspective, and I guess either I need to shift that or change my perspective because he doesn't have the same perspective, and that's why some of the laziness comes in, is he doesn't see it as important.
So let's do something real quick, because I wanted to do this exercise. Everybody take a minute for yourselves and write down or note for yourself, what's the perspective? So you've each targeted a challenge area. What's the perspective you're in now? And whether that's stuck in or choosing or whatever, what's the perspective that you're in right now around that issue? And write it down for yourself. And Ellen, I want to let you start and share. What do you see as the perspective? What's the message you're saying to yourself in this dynamic?
So my that being doing well in school is a sign of success.
Okay. So is it that doing well in school is a sign of success, or if he's not doing well at school, he's not successful?
Probably the second one. Although I don't personally believe that, I think that's the global message he gets.
What's the message you're bringing?
What is the message? I think I'm bringing the first one, that it's important to be successful at school, or try to be successful.
Purpose. It's important to try to be successful at school so that
he feels more confident in himself. Because when he's not, he doesn't feel good about himself.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then the lazy part comes in. Then he doesn't always work hard enough.
Is that the perspective you want to choose, or is that the perspective you think you've been in?
I think it's perspective I've been in. And maybe I need to change that perspective.
What would you change it to?
So that he would that being successful in school is not the most important thing.
I mean it can be a lot of things. Maybe being successful in school is one piece to success, and there are a lot of ways to be successful.
Yeah.
Right. What I'm hearing you wrestling with is how important it is to you versus how important it is to him.
Yes.
And I totally, I get it, I respect it. I that was my biggest challenge with my oldest daughter. For me, was coming to terms with the fact that as bright as she is, school was just never going to be her place for success.
Yeah.
And that was really hard to come to terms with because I'm, an academic person with a,
And I think it comes back to what we were talking about before, is because I know he has the ability to. He just doesn't have the motivation to.
So maybe the place for you to look is about what's helping him figure out what's important to him.
Right.
So that he can figure out what will motivate him to success, whatever that looks like for him. So instead of school is important for your success, it shifts to what is important,
what does he consider to be successful, and what's important for him to achieve that?
Yeah, beautiful. Great. So anybody else, anything else you want to say on that at the moment, Ellen, or can we?
Nope.
Okay. It's profound, isn't it?
Yes.
Because so the question for you to ponder while we move around to some in the group is, based on that new perspective, what's possible from there? Right? What action could you take? What could you do differently? What conversation could you have? What's possible from that new perspective? I want to help him figure out what's important to him and what success looks like for him. All right?
Yes.
So who else?
Hey, Elaine, can I ask you, this is Melissa.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, so the issue that I'm having when I hear what you're saying, which is, you know, I get that everybody needs to define their own success, but part of me feels as though they're kids and they don't know what's important for success. You know, like for me, I don't care if Max gets great grades, you know, but I do want him to have the flexibility and freedom in the future to be able to make some good choices that he might not realize right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. So here's the thing, though. If it's not about school work, if it's not about A's and B's, is it about effort? Is it about is success for him knowing you've put your best in and that you're going to put your best and do the best you can with anything you try? Or is success for you about targeting a particular area and becoming an expert in that area, which a lot of our kids do really well? Or is, you know, so it's not, they don't have to know everything. And you can definitely guide the conversation with them. But it's helping them see something other than an A on a report card is the only measure of their success.
Okay, I got it.
Okay.
So you're looking for the measure of success within the context of education or studying hard or whatever.
My third child, I don't know what kind of an academic kid he's going to be when he hits high school. He's got way better options than his older sister because I have parented him very differently, right? And he struggles with it a lot, not because he can't do the work, not because he's not smart enough, because he doesn't want to, it's boring, da-da-da. So we're beginning at eighth grade to begin to look at sort of what does interest him, what are the subjects I really care about him doing well in because he loves them. And so it's not, are you going to be a straight-A student, but it's, I know you're, you know, you may not care too much about math, but that science class is really important to you because you're a science kid, right? Or whatever it is for him. But helping him see what he wants and the value of doing his best work, whatever that is, as opposed to the value of an A.
This is Ellen. So I have a 10th grader, and I've been saying that to him since 7th grade. Like, I've never really cared about the grades, it's the effort, but I don't see the effort. So that's where I
may not know what that means.
Okay.
And so you may need to break that down.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
Because it's very theoretical, it's very abstract.
Right.
So, you know, do you feel like, you know, if he comes home with an 80 on a test, do you feel like you did your best work on that? Do you feel like you tried really hard, you put the effort in, whatever? Then great. Celebrate the 80. But help him see what it is that you're talking about, how it shows up, without sounding complaining that he's not, right? And they all have something that they're proud of. They all have something they've done at some point in their life that they're particularly proud of having done it. And that's the place to look for the success. Where have they done something well? Where have they done something they really are proud of, put the effort into, wanted to do well? Because that's where they will see, oh, that's what it means to be engaged or committed or ambitious or want to do well. When I did that project, I really wanted to make sure, or that teacher they wanted to work for, because sometimes these kids will work for teachers rather than for the content.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes that works. Elaine, it's Meredith, but it's, you know, their memories are really, really, in some context, short-lived.
Yeah.
So I could say, and sometimes it'll work, I'll say, you know, remember how good it felt, and you worked so hard, and you accomplished so much, and you felt really good about it, and don't you want that again? Let's, you know, and he'll be like, yeah, like totally bought in. But it doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean it's going to result in any action.
Well, but that you want to tie it to whatever the next action is. So in that scenario, it may be, okay, so what's it going to take to do that again here? Let's break this down. It's going to get hard sometimes, you know, and they need to know. It's okay that it gets hard. What are you going to do when it gets hard? What are you going to do to stick with it? How are you going to find that motivation and make it important to you when you're done and you're tired and you feel like going to bed, right? So it's sort of carrying through the conversation to the implementation of it. So not just to do it in theory, although it helps to do it in theory, you know, after they've had a great success, to talk about what a great success it was, what helped them get through it, how did they stick with it, you know, when you've got one, really help them learn from the pieces of it. But then when you're applying it, it's not just the rah-rah, you can do it again, but I bet you can do on this paper, this project, this, you know, karate test, what you did on that, because I know that when you really put your mind to something, you can do that.
Well, no, it would be that specific. It would be, okay, you've got that to do, this one thing to do, you know, and harken back to how he performed the last time that he did well and how he felt, and, you know, let's, you know, trying to motivate the same behaviors. But, I mean, consistent behavior in these kids is, you know,
not a reasonable
virtually impossible.
Well, it's not a reasonable expectation.
Right.
Right? So you can expect it's going to be inconsistent and that sometimes it's going to work and sometimes it's not. And you can get into the middle of it and say, well, okay, so that's not working to motivate you. Let's see what else will. What do you need? Because I, you know, and part of what I do believe with all of them is if we hold the image for them, that I know that at the heart of things you really would like to do well on this, and most of them would like to do well, they're just not sure they can. And when they're not sure they can, sometimes they would rather not even try than feel like they've failed. So,
yeah, I don't sense that's Matthew's issue.
It may not be, and that, you know, we're sort of speaking to a larger
right
crowd of kids here. And if that's not his issue, then it may be finding something else that motivates him. Right? I mean, get real specific. What are you gonna do for yourself? How are you gonna reward yourself? Because they need to understand. This goes back to that discussion about using structures. They need to understand that the way their brain is wired, they need a motivator. And maybe it's little ones, maybe it's big ones, but they need to have some motivation to do something. And they're not going to be as motivated by doing it because it's a thing as we are. They're not going to be motivated most of the time by doing it because I can check something off my list, right? Those are very adult motivators, adult concepts.
Elaine,
keep them where they are.
Elaine, you were asking, you know, what perspective are you stuck in? And I guess for me with my daughter, she gets that grades are important for college admission, and she's been successful at doing that. But where I'm stuck is that I didn't know that she understands the responsibility of being a student athlete and being in shape and showing up to school in shape. So help me.
Well, I can't help you there on this call.
Uh-huh.
We can talk more about it. But okay. What I'm asking is, what I would ask you to look at is, because it's a different topic than what we've been talking about and where you started today, right? But the question to ask yourself is, what's the perspective I'm bringing? Just like the perspective earlier was, instead of, was you believe that she's not really lazy, that when she gets started, she can really do something really well. So what's the perspective that you're holding, which sounds like she doesn't understand, she doesn't understand what her responsibility is?
Mm-hmm.
And what perspective can you replace it with that would be helpful? Because just like that perspective earlier of if she would just read ADD books was not a reasonable expectation.
Uh-huh.
You know, what is reasonable to expect of a 17-year-old kid, student athlete or not? And how can you shift your perspective to make it a reasonable expectation?
I don't know.
You're not going to know now. That's the question, the query for you to play with, right? That's your inquiry to really think about is, what's the perspective I'm bringing to this that's getting in the way so that we can begin to think about what perspective to replace it with?
Mm-hmm.
That's where I would leave you with today, is an inquiry of what's the perspective that's getting in the way. And before we close today, let's do one more. Is there anybody else who wants to share a perspective you've noticed today that may not have been serving you or your child?
This is Dawn. I feel like my perspective may be unrealistic as far as expectations.
Okay.
I know I want Matt to be responsible for his use of strategies to overcome his difficulty with initiating and completing tasks, like homework tasks. But I thought about it when you had us write it down, and it seems to me it's important to me for him to be motivated to use the strategies.
Mm-hmm.
And that doesn't seem like it matches what the first one does.
That's a great observation. So how would you replace that perspective? How would you make, what's the new story you would make up?
Oh, you know, I have nothing. I don't know.
So what's the perspective? So the perspective was, I want him to be motivated. He needs to to motivate himself to use structures.
Yeah.
Right? And
uh-huh.
You're realizing that may not be reasonable. So,
no.
Right? So
right.
What else is also possible or true?
I'm sorry, what was that?
So what else is also possible or what else could also be true? It may be, for example, instead of he needs to learn, it might be I want to help him learn.
Yeah.
To be motivated to use structure.
Okay.
Does that shift what's
reasonable.
Possible for you?
Definitely, yeah.
How?
I'm writing this down, so I'm sorry.
I got it. How does it shift it
how,
for you?
Because... instead of me trying to motivate him, like, or expect that he'd just be motivated like a magic wand or something,
mm-hmm.
do is help him look at examples of when he's been motivated and, you know, what led him to that motivation and with,
right.
like, the homework he has to do, I don't know, kind of, like, look at how that might relate to motivation
yep.
in that area?
Yeah, no, I think that's, so you're right on target. Just keep going with it and play with it a little bit. And it sounds like writing for you is a great method of learning. So journal it out a little bit, right? Spend some time writing on it. But what I'm hearing is that it's about helping him, what's possible for you when you shift your perspective is that you can have a different kind of conversation with him. And you can be more compassionate and have more patience and try different things because you realize that it's a different kind of a learning curve.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So let's, as we get close to wrapping up today, I want everybody to sort of identify, you know, we've been talking about perspectives and we've been talking about different specific topics and reasonable expectations. escaping the stress cycle, managing triggers. What have you been focusing on today? What's been the guiding sort of attention for you today? And what's your clarity from today? What's your one, two, or two takeaways? What's your aha?
I mean, I'm going to have to go. I have a meeting. This is Paula.
Okay. Thanks for being here. I hope you have a great, wonderful holiday.
Thank you. Same to you. Bye-bye.
So
I understand.
What's your aha? And then based on that, what commitment do you want to make? You need to do to set yourself up? So those are your final four.
My aha was is more especially when it comes to schoolwork, is more about being able to use a certain tool versus focusing on the grade, that being more important. And focusing today is trying to rephrase in my brain a different perspective, and I'm having a really difficult moment with it. I don't know how to get out of it, how to change it so that I can then understand her lack of action.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for where I would point you, Patty, when we go back to the model, and you and I will talk more about this, but, you know, whenever you're taking aim on a topic, you always want to get educated and get information, mm-hmm. get understand. And where I see that comes up a lot with you and a place for you to look is, are you setting a reasonable expectation for her?
Mm-hmm.
And there are times where it feels like you want her to be thinking about it the way that you as an adult think about it. So I really mm-hmm. want to point you to get into the mind's eye of a 17-year-old girl with ADD.
Okay.
What's that experience like for her? Because that's what's going to help you begin to set more realistic expectations.
All right, thank you.
Okay, you're welcome. Anybody else want to share what your aha is from today? Or your commitment?
This is Ellen, and I'm committed to really sit down and talk to him about what's important to him to feel that he wants to find success in.
Great. And what I would also offer to you, Ellen, is that it's a slow process. And I know part of you feels like, well, he's a teenager and we're running out of time. But, you know, most people don't know what they want to do by 20, much less 16, or by 30, you know. So be a little patient with the process and allow that exploration to happen.
Well, I'm not saying his whole life, but even what does he want to find success in for this year? You know, I
yeah,
mean,
that's a great question, especially this
because
time
I think
year.
He has struggles. I think that's part of the depression. He feels like he doesn't know what he wants to do or be or do anything. And so,
yeah, great. Yeah, so keep it narrow. Keep it tight to 2015. And she's, you know, one place to work on in 2015 and help him find something he wants to do better, master, move into, whatever. Anybody else? Your aha or your commitment? So Ellen, I heard that the commitment was to have a conversation with him or to start having conversations with him around it.
Yes.
Donna, Melissa, or Meredith?
I feel like I've spoken enough. I've talked enough.
No, it's not about talking. What's your takeaway today? What are you leaving the call with? What's helpful for you as you hang up this phone?
Well, my takeaway is that Matt would benefit if I take a different perspective regarding his motivation. And
okay.
My action step is I'm committed to helping Matt learn to be motivated. And the way I can set myself up for success would be to get to know Matt and what he finds important and ways
right.
that he found himself motivated in the past and how that worked for him.
I love that. The term that I use, y'all, is the solutions are in the successes. So we look to their successes. The solutions for them and for us are usually there. So, great. Thanks.
Yep.
Melissa or Meredith, any closing thoughts for today?
Sorry, I realized
that. It reminds me.
Say that again, I'm sorry.
Just a good reminder.
Just a good reminder.
To think differently about things than my tendency.
Yeah. Well, and if nothing else, if you could just ask yourself the question, what perspective am I holding and how can I shift it to make it more helpful to me?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Those two questions for you in particular, I think, will really help. What's the perspective I'm bringing, and what will make it better for me? How can I change it to make it better for me? It's not about better for them, really. Better for you. Because when you get stuck in these perspectives, all of us do, we actually end up aggravating ourselves. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And if we shift the perspective, we can. It actually helps our own emotional state with it as well. And Melissa, anything for you?
Yeah, I think, ironically, it is what you were thinking, the perspective of Max holding me back from having my sister over for a drink is what we were talking about when I wanted to shift it to him and not me. It's more, you know, I need to take responsibility for me having my social life and just letting things go with him.
Yeah.
And just saying, you know, if you don't get your homework done because I'm not here and on top of you, that's the way it is, but I can't do it anymore.
Right.
So
certainly not every night, canceling every plan and, you know, setting the expectation. My kids know when I'm going to be home or when I'm going to be out. When
yeah.
I'm going to be available and
yeah.
when I'm not.
Right. Right.
Right.
It's, you know, it's hard because sometimes he lets me in, and sometimes he doesn't. So when
right.
he lets me in and I have something planned, it's hard for me just to let go.
Yeah.
So
I
it's
totally
a process.
Get that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And
thank you.
When you're able to get clear on when you're doing what you're doing for you, you'll be able to communicate that better and be able to say, hey, buddy, I wish I could do that. I can't, but here's when I can do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Totally. Yeah.
So, great. Glad I'm so glad you had that aha.
Yeah. I know. I'm like, it's all about Max. It's like, no.
Yeah, I'm so glad you got that. Good for you.
Yeah. You know it was coming.
Well, you had to find it on your own. That's the whole
yeah.
beauty of coaching is that you had to come to it for it to really resonate. Because I could have told you that at the beginning of the call, and what would it have done for you?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
It wouldn't have gotten
yeah.
me here. Yeah. Good coaching.
Way to go. Way to go. All right, everybody. Have a phenomenal, awesome holiday season. Know that we are here. Even if we're taking time off, we're available by emails and stuff for those of you who are PSS Plus or private clients. And happy to hear from you and be there on the other end of the text if you're having one of those family days. And take care of yourselves during this holiday, not just take care of everybody else. Make sure you do something nice for yourself every day and really enjoy it for you as well as enjoying the time with family. And we'll talk to you in the new year.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye. Thanks.